Jesse Blake. Let's go!
Episode 5.
Did you know they lost?
Somebody spoiled it. I think actually you just spoiled it. Had no idea.
Oh, sorry. Jesse, can you
reset everything? Just,
yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Reset it.
I'm all right.
Doing that. He's not doing that.
I'm not doing
it's
that.
It's AONFR 5.
Ah, damn. Is that how it ended? That's the title.
The remix.
Oh, damn.
Listen. Because we're Leaf fans and we're suckers for punishment, we felt like this episode was going to be, and as I said at the beginning of the last episode, this is the episode where you cringe, right? And not cringe because, honestly, the thing I'm cringing more about is the Tavares thing. And
yes.
The Tavares head injury is the thing that I was least looking forward to on this. And, you know, it's interesting because when they start the episode here, they talk about the family aspect of what John Tavares is. Because really, to this point, they've developed Willie and Mitch and Austin and Sheldon and Brendan and
Jack.
They did do Tavares early when they had him talking with John Tavares, the lacrosse player.
His uncle.
Yeah. I think that was the first episode, right?
And the best ever. A lot of people don't know that.
And and like very Vin Diesel. Family, right? You know, very much. But
let's do a Fast 9 reaction.
But John,
that's what this team was missing. Wait.
and you know, I think that, you know, that is Tavares, right? He's somewhat of a soft-spoken guy.
He's an extremely soft-spoken guy.
Yeah. Leads by example, mm-hmm. and is genuinely, like, comfortably a family guy. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how he is.
When he speaks up, which you only really see once, in this entire documentary, it means something because of its rarity.
And let me also say that when he does speak up, I've never heard that many F words mixed in. It's fucking goal. It's fucking mean something. Fucking do it. Fucking like,
yeah,
it
was sometimes just like, you forget he played in the OHL.
Yeah.
Really? That is it. Yes. That's Adam. That's what we call a major junior dialect.
Right.
That's very
and
funny.
He says the F words so fast, you barely even make it out. Like, it's almost like, do you remember the Family Guy where they're like, you can't understand you can only understand the last three words of what Sting says in the song, right? It's almost like he speaks so fast, Tavares speaks so fast on the F-bombs that you sort of know he's saying it, but mostly you're getting that last part, which is, let's make a game of this, let's go for it, let's work, you know, mm-hmm. all the things that are really important. And it's cool to see him with his kid and with his wife and you know, the side of it that you never see, right? People gave him a really hard time, and I think with a contract like that, you're gonna get it, right?
Of course, you're gonna get it.
But he, to me, has always lived up to that deal.
I'll defend him until he doesn't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I for the first 3 years, I haven't seen anything where I'm like, yeah, no, he's not worth it. He's right. Completely worth it.
He's gone through slumps. He even struggled at times last season, and the team really needed him. And when did he ever not follow that up with coming through? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When did he ever, like, I think back to 2019, Game 7 against the Bruins. One of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen in a Game 7. He's the only guy who scored.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's been absolutely worth it.
And we all believe that if he was on the ice for this, the Montreal series, they would have won.
Yeah.
It sounds disrespectful to the Habs, but like.
It would have been over.
Yeah.
And.
In four.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if they get game one. Like,
well, yeah. And the thing is that the absence of John Tavares shows you how important John Tavares is.
Yes.
And we could get to that in a moment. But I also think, you know, let's highlight the fact that at the beginning, you know, we were talking a little bit about Keith talking to Spezza last episode when he talked to him in the first episode, of, you know, past relay information to the younger players. The first guy Keith goes to is John Tavares.
Of course, because he's the captain. Mm-hmm. And he deserves to be, right? Like, this isn't an accident. This isn't a... What? They didn't slap it onto him because he was awesome in that bed commercial. you know, they slapped it on him because he's a leader. And one thing, getting away from Tavares for a second, just before we get to the games, because I know we're going to have to get to the injury. The tease at the beginning of the episode is so damn good. And one thing, Will Arnett...
Which one? Tell me.
They set up the
what we're in for
entire disaster. you know what's coming. The context of it maybe changes if you don't know that. Well, of course it changes if you don't know that. But Will Arnett, who I'm going to assume wrote his own scripts, made a great point that morale in the city was awful.
It was at an all-time low in the history of life.
I remember everyone was sad about everything. And
the Leafs were the bright spot.
The Leafs were, for a very fleeting moment in time, Adam. Yes.
Toronto was it was the last place on North America, in North America, that was locked down.
But it's, you know, towards the end of spring. Mm-hmm. The weather's getting nice.
Numbers are going down. Vaccinations
numbers are going
up.
Down. Vaccinations are skyrocketing. Because remember, we were a little late to that game. And then they went, woo! So people were desperate for them. We're going to get some freedoms back and flexibility. And if you're a hockey fan, the playoffs are about to start. So they did a really good job setting the scene. There were a lot of things in this documentary. There were sort of outside of hockey that were great time capsules of the mood. Mm-hmm. Like I was so head buried in the season that I kind of forgot how tough life was outside of covering the Leafs.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything, like a lot of us had a very not fun time.
I think I buried it. To be honest with you, I think I buried it. I enjoyed this summer immensely and I buried it because I can't think about it. It was tough.
We got to move on, but I wonder if part of the reason, you know, the backlash to this loss was so bad, besides the fact that it genuinely was, and we'll get into that, was all that optimism that we had built up after like a terrible spring just completely evaporated in one game.
Right. And so before we sort of get, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. They tease this. They get to Tavares and his family, and then they do a little sideshow about players and their sticks, which I love. And like Jason Spezza talking about how particular he is about his stick. And,
with this big sander.
Yeah.
Amazon released the Jason Spezza laugh cut.
Yes.
You got all that footage. You didn't get him laughing once.
I know.
Release the laugh cut.
The best laugh in the NHL, bar none.
Release it.
And he's like talking about, you know, when I was younger and all the sticks were wooden, like this mattered a lot more. Now people just tape them up, but he's still in there with a carbon fiber shaft.
Yep.
But I'm going to shave it down anyway, damn it. I don't care. And I bet the hockey stick makers, I was thinking like, they're probably like, hey, don't do that. That actually messes with the structural, like, we can mold you a different stick if you want.
Okay there, Jason. Cool.
Didn't stop.
I loved Spezza's parents too. His dad is such a big fan of his son.
He'll never play for another team. For the rest of his life, he'll never play for another team.
What did he say? He had over 1,100 of Jason's hockey cards.
Oh, how like, well, amazing.
And then
so
when he opens the closet, and he's like, here's all of Jason's jerseys that he's worn. And this Ottawa one is very special because that's when he went to the Stanley Cup. I was like, that's everything you want out of a parent, you know? Just to be so proud of your kid.
I am Mr. Spezza. If Leo ever makes the NHL and plays for Leafs, I am Mr. Spezza.
Well,
I mean,
your house is a shrine to your kid.
You're Mr. Yes. Spezza with James Reimer anyway.
So I'm very proud of him. Yeah, he was born 2 days after me, and I'm very proud of my son.
Right. So, and he's Italian. Spezza.
Yes. To break. That's what Spezza means in Italian.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Spezza. All right. Well, listen. So then,
now you know.
So then, you know, we see... we see them kind of bring in the Stanley Cup with the pucks. Oh. And we'll come back to that. So the first things first, obviously the Tavares incident happens.
Yeah.
Man.
And you do see it again. And you see it, and I think you need to see it in the sense, it's not, you know, it's not gratuitous. It's here's what happened.
Yeah, it's because that I'm sure was the thing in editing was the most painstaking.
Oh,
and you talk about you can't get this wrong, right? You have to get this right. You have to be respectful. It can't be gratuitous, like you said. And that was the scariest moment of the season for the team. And you have to show it.
Oh, yeah. It's the season pivots on it.
And they showed it at ice level, and they showed how the teammates reacted to it. And all this lore, like these sort of things that you heard about it, and his teammates having to talk him through this because he didn't know where he was, and he was...
And he was a little agitated?
He was lashing out because, I mean, he had a brain injury. Like, he didn't... He literally doesn't know what's going on, so he has to hear...
And Simmons and Thornton, they handled that situation like pros.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, those the leaders came through as leaders.
Yeah, there's a reason that Dubas brings in people like that onto the team.
Because
in those moments, like, as rare as it happens, but that's why you have Thornton and Simmons on the ice.
Yeah, that's just... And that's not really on them as players. Like, that's just...
That's human beings.
People. That's human beings. Yeah. Like, you... Their reactions... were those of people who have lived a lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, they show Dubas running down the steps and everything.
Trying to call his wife.
You do get a little bit of audio of John. And, like, you're hearing him yell. You get a... It helped illustrate the chaos of the moment.
Yeah.
And
honestly, the hardest part for me is him getting up on his knees and then falling backwards and they have to catch him.
That was tough.
And I still don't really blame anyone for that.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying that anybody needs to be blamed. It's a heart-wrenching moment.
Oh,
it brought me right back to my living room when I was watching it and going, like, as a Leaf fan, I'm getting goosebumps now talking about it.
Same.
You're so sick to your stomach about this.
It's one of the hardest moments of my career.
Oh,
being live for that shit.
You're live streaming. That was right. Oh my God.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh yeah. No, same. Same.
And the way Foligno handled it, like, I don't understand if you could criticize him for fighting Perry in that moment.
Well,
because he legitimately didn't know.
He didn't know. And also, he's a former captain. He knows how to handle a thing that happens on a hockey rink.
And they
do
say it on the ice. You know, they're like, he says he didn't mean it. He said he's sick to his stomach. But he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. That's just what we need to do in this moment.
We can talk about the problems with hockey culture.
Right.
But, like, as it stands... Yeah, he did. He had to go.
As it is right now, that's just...
And
that's
as the new guy with a back injury.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and when he's telling the ref, like, that's my captain. That's my captain on the ice.
That's my captain. But also talking about from our previous discussions about Thornton versus Ehlers and trying to find his spot in the lineup. By now, Foligno knows I cannot be the guy they got me to be.
So
I'm going to fight this guy.
And then the next game, he's second line center.
Right.
Forgot about that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What I say, we talk about John Tavares and the value of his team.
Ugh.
Look at what happened after. Look at what happened without. And, you know, then the pressure goes immediately to Marner and Matthews. And, you know, listen, they lose the first game. Nobody blames them for that. Nobody. We get it.
It was tight.
And frankly, the fact that they continued playing after that is, you, in retrospect, you go, full hats off to the whole team that they continued that game.
Even the Canadians.
Yeah.
Like, credit to them.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And like, Paul Byron scoring the best goal of his career. Like,
I mean, he could do that 100 times. He'd never do it again.
No.
But he did it then. And so then you see the next three games and things are starting, the sun is starting to rise a little bit here. And this is where the Stanley Cup thing, you know, each time they win, There's 16 puck holes
in the Christmas
there.
Tree. Yeah,
the Stanley Cup Christmas puck tree thing.
Well, and who turns it all around? Because you forget game two, Habs score first again, which forgot.
I forgot that too.
Yeah. They score first. The national treasure of a never go to another team, please, Jason Spezza.
Yeah,
just. And then they score five consecutive goals.
Yeah. And he's the first one to put a puck in the Christmas tree.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, as it keeps going, and one thing that stood out to me, and this was game four, was this power play is really clicking. And I thought, of all the things in this documentary, obviously beyond the Tavares thing, of all the things that stung in a fan way, not in a human way, that stung me the hardest.
Because I think, I think their final two power play goals, Sandin had one. I don't remember which game. I think it was three. Mm-hmm. And then I remember he comes out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Dermott goes in for game four and Thornton scored.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Muzzin has the slap 3-1. Shot. Muzzin has the slap shot from the point that goes in straight in. That's on the power play as well, is it not?
And I remember... Okay, it's coming back to me. So that was the one where they just threw him in because it wasn't working. Yeah. And I remember praising that because sometimes you just do the stupid Neanderthal thing and blast it on net, and it worked. Muzzin is so good at that for this team that gets so fancy. He's so good at just being like, it's hockey. It's not that complicated. Bang!
Yeah.
And like...
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
And so this is where, you know, you see one puck go into the Stanley Cup tree. And then in celebration, and you see the second puck go in the Stanley Cup tree and then celebration. And you see the third puck go in the Stanley Cup tree.
After a 4-0 win.
And you think, and everybody said it. All of our friends said it. Eric Engels said it. Series over.
Series is over. Galchenyuk has the game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Game of his
also,
life.
Also, sidebar with that, the games two or three through six or whatever. The Bell Center visiting locker room. It looks like a high school locker room. Did you guys notice that?
Nah, they all do. They all do. They're all garbage. God.
I was like, these are NHL players. Like, they don't even have a cubby hole.
I noticed that in the documentary too, but I was the arena I noticed it in was Ottawa.
The only room that's worse is Dubas's office. Honestly.
You gotta get one in per episode.
Yeah, one in per episode. I'm looking at Justin Hall and he's sitting beside a wire crate with his gloves on it, and I'm like, I feel like I'm back in West Hill.
Yeah, it was literally
for me Park to Arena.
Yeah, it was everybody just crammed together. The walls are the white concrete bricks that you have in every cinder block in every high school locker room.
That's the Leafs visiting.
And it's a C-shaped thing because they've got to have socially distance. So Sheldon's like yelling around the corner.
Yes.
Did you guys hear me? Okay, let's bring it up for the third period.
And there's lockers behind him where he's trying to yell at the team. There's another bench area over there.
That's where you keep your five-star binders in those lockers.
And they brought in, you know, they have the giant video board in the Leafs locker.
Yes.
They brought in the little 34-inch TV with the Leafs logo on it to show highlights.
Oh, dude, I've every visiting room in every building stinks. Like the Leafs one isn't much better. From when I was an intern, the Jays. The difference between the visiting room and the Jays room, which you've seen this season, they turn into a club.
It's amazing.
It's hilarious. So, like, I don't know. What the hell are you going to... Why are you making the visiting room nice?
Right.
I don't know. I thought there were some standards when you reached the NHL.
Yeah, there are. It's that the home
team
locker room is nice.
If you're at home, you're comfortable. And if you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
Now, then we get into... then we get into game five.
And no, we don't have to. Okay, here, cut it.
Yeah, I know. And Galchenyuk, again, and they talk about this, how he had rehabbed his career. They talk about it he had turned his career around, and he's playing top line minutes, and it's overtime, and had the game of his life, giveaway that you never forget ever. That giveaway in game five is one of those ones that it's anti-hockey, right? And they show it, and they show Galch's face, and you go, you feel terrible for him, but at the same time you're like,
but you
every
did
house league hockey coach tells you not to do that.
But
do
you
that.
Did it, and dude, video games, The guys I play with have a policy of no D to D passes. And I know he wasn't D, but he was playing the point.
He was point backhand.
If anyone on our team in video games passes point to point and gives it away, we give him shit and never let him forget it for at least the rest of the night. Anytime they get the puck at the point, hey, you going to do that again? And he did that in overtime in game five after they had just erased a 3-goal deficit. Oh. And then game six happens.
Yeah.
And they're getting, that's Marner bottling it. Mm-hmm. The puck over the glass. They score on the power play. But they erase the deficit again.
And this is a key scene.
And who is it again? God damn Jason Spezza. And Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about the highlight of the entire series.
What?
The meeting.
Game six intermission. The speech.
Well, anyone thought it was Sheldon's fault, you got your answer. No.
Oh. That Sheldon Keefe speech.
Make a movie out of it. This is a five-episode series. I need a full feature length on that one speech. Unbelievable.
He tore the paint off the walls. And how did the players respond? They outshot the Habs 13-1.
They answered.
And then Dermott decides he's Booker T.
Okay. Let's focus on the speech before we hop ahead. I hadn't seen the spin in 3 months.
He decided that he was the five-time WCW champion. Gives it right away.
Can we do the speech first? Can we give Sheldon Keefe some credit for the...
Oh, did you write down quotes?
No.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
I've
concussed myself just now.
I know he calls out Mitch. He goes, Mitch Himes, Matt, your line is getting fucking dominated.
Yes.
That's a quote that I wrote down. Yes, I did have quotes. That's the main quote.
And Himes scored one of the goals.
And
he still gave it to him.
But he's right.
Because he doesn't give a shit about the result.
You're playing garbage. Every detail of the just awful play the Leafs had, and then he got them to come out in overtime
and
play a completely different game than they had played in the 60 minutes beforehand.
Like, they got it.
It was unbelievable.
One thing we missed that I made note of. So in previous podcasts, I've talked about how Ilya Mikheyev had a chance to win in overtime in game six, mm-hmm. maybe two. In game five! Off a William Nylander rebound. I swear to God, they play that series 99 more times. They win all of them.
And this documentary goes to the second round.
I don't know how you can watch this documentary. I don't know how you can watch last season and cheer for this team and not think they're hunted. Speaking of which,
out in OT as shots 14-1, 13-1,
13-1, and then on shot number two,
what did Dermott do?
He's Spinorama. Do your Booker T.
Five times. And then.
I hadn't seen the spin in 3 months and I forgot how bad it was.
It's horrible. I
actually had fully, I'll be honest with you, seeing it, I was like, oh, like I had fully pushed it out.
Yeah.
It was as bad.
And Muzzin's out by this point, by the way.
Yes.
So for a little context.
Yeah.
So things are a little out of whack, but they're clicking to holy shit.
And then, of course, you know, they don't win. And before game seven, you see Marner and Dubas meet.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'm trying to remember the order because there was, what do we do first? Marner and Dubas meet, or one of my new favorite members of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization, Paul McLean?
Who said they've got demons. Well, I think Marner and Dubas meet, and then Paul McLean talks about
great. Let's do that.
So, Marner and Dubas meet, and you could tell this is, again, good cop. Trying to build Mitch Marner up because he can tell that he's nervous. And this goes back to the absence of John Tavares and the pressure that placed on Matthews and Marner.
Yep.
And you could tell me all day what these guys make. I get it. I know what they make.
Okay.
But John Tavares not being there really messes with the plan.
LeBron James makes a lot of money. He misses shots.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and LeBron has lost.
Yeah.
When Kyrie Irving wasn't in the lineup in Cleveland, LeBron, they didn't win.
Yep.
And so in this particular case, you could see the pressure that they're feeling. Marner especially, and you could see it during the game, you could see it when he put the puck over the glass, and that's why you would think Dubas sat him down before game seven and said, calm down.
Another example, by the way, of that's, I mean, the way we talked about Marner game six, seven, I'm like, are we overreaching here? Are we talking about something that we couldn't possibly know? No, man. Mm-hmm. That dude was nervous. And he wasn't able to overcome the moment.
It's not that it's not understandable that he was nervous, but you just said it right there. Not able to overcome the moment.
And it's not that he didn't try.
No.
You definitely come away after the episode, and I guess we'll get to this. The dude clearly cares.
Nobody's questioning.
Clearly haunts him.
The brain's questioning.
His response to Dubas in that meeting is, I just want more for myself. That's the only line he really says back to Dubas after Dubas says, you're not yourself. And he's like, I just want more for myself.
That's nothing. What does that mean?
But the expectations on his shoulder, like he feels the weight of the Toronto Maple Leafs and everything that comes with that.
Right.
Got into his head.
It seemed like one of those situations, to your point, Jesse, where the history of the crest took over the focus on the game. Mm-hmm. And you forget that it's hockey, and then it turns into Leaf hockey. And that's, at the end of the day, if there was a way to go back and go, Mitch, this is just every other hockey game, that's got a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, then it goes to Paul McClain.
So I forgot that dude was even in the organization.
Yeah.
And so his title is assistant coach, right? I think it's assistant coach.
Yeah.
But he was never on the bench. He was the press box eye in the sky guy.
Yeah.
But he was obviously around the team because you talk about a guy. He has to be on the bench this year. He has to be. I'm sure.
Assistant coach.
Assistant coach. So I'm. You know, this is a former head coach from the NHL. I believe has won playoff series. And
Jack Adams Award winner with the Senators.
No way, really?
Yeah, he won the Jack Adams Award while coaching the Ottawa Senators in 12-13.
That was the hamburger year, was it not?
12-13. No. Maybe it was.
I don't know. He won the Stanley Cup in 2008 with Detroit as an assistant.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. So Jack Adams, and he's got a cup. So you talk about a guy with experience. Obviously, he won a Stanley Cup 13 years ago. He's been around for a long time. I'm sure he's good at designing this guy job, and maybe he doesn't need to be on the bench. But you talk about a guy, like one of the things that's given me comfort is this management group, everyone who makes a decision, they clearly understand the problem with the team. They understand the weakness. They understand all the issues. And no one summarizes it more succinctly and beautifully than Paul McClain. Like, just matter of fact. So matter of fact.
Demons,
like,
out of the bed. Demons when they open the closet. Yeah. Demons, you know, demons everywhere.
And, like, that, you know, forget who's playing top line left wing. Forget the fact that you lost Zach Hyman. Forget the fact that Morgan Riley's contract is expiring. Forget the fact that you have lost Frederik Andersen and you're now going into, like, this new era of goaltending with two guys who aren't really full-time starters. Like, forget every other obstacle this team has in front of them. The demons are the issue. Mm-hmm. And they don't even get a chance to fight them until the spring.
It brought me solace to know that they get it. Everything that we complain about on the show, everything the fans say, they understand.
Yep. They got it in January.
Yeah. That from the beginning to the very end, they understood what was on the line.
Really got it.
Yeah.
The thing is that, like, any flippancy that any of the players did show him, because he said, I get the vibe that, and he's talking to Spezza, I get the vibe that they're not really happy with me right now. And he's like, you'd be correct. Listen, guys, he's been on this.
Yeah.
Early in the season, they weren't happy with him.
You have to think that this season, and watching what we watched, you have to think going into next season, it's going to be a different conversation. It is. Mm-hmm. And because they're going to be like, you know, Shelton's right. And so we've seen this, and then it goes to the game, and it shows us in the documentary what happens in the first two periods. and they're dead.
The Leafs, well, in the third period, they were better than I remember.
But what I want to talk about is that intermission between the second and third period.
So in absence of Tavares, right?
Who steps
up? Who's clear? Morgan Riley. Fucking Riley and Jason fucking Spezza. Slap A's on the both of them. Riley's already got one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like,
and you could see Spezza going, we got 20 minutes, guys. It's our season. It's our season. And you see Matthews next to him going, like getting really jacked up, right?
And they come out and they do it. Like, they kind of, well, I shouldn't say they do it. They play their best hockey of the game in that period. And they get the one goal after it's already 3-0.
But it's too late. It's way too late.
Yeah.
They were, well, I think they allowed an empty netter. And then Willie scores one with like under 100 seconds to go. And it's exactly what Keith was talking about. Mm-hmm. Like it from game one of the season. Incomplete games.
Yeah. And who's the guy who scored, by the way?
William
Nylander. The guy who's unaffected by all of this.
Yes.
Who's the one you saw throughout this whole playoff run? He wasn't in any of the montages of the guys being absolutely devastated and nervous. William Nylander.
True. But at the end, gotta show
some love.
This guy who, you know, doesn't care, and he's aloof, and he's their best forward.
Apparently. 5-7.
I don't think it's that he doesn't care. I think it's that it just doesn't get to him
way.
Agreeing with you, but I'm being literal about it.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall, it's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I think, again, another extremely powerful scene is they show in the montage. Everybody is undressed and gone. And Marner and Matthews are sitting there with all their gear on. Matthews has still got his jersey on. Marner's at least managed to get his jersey off.
He's in tears.
He's in tears. And you see him have to sit in front of that camera.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And, you know, I want to put it in context. We were tough on Mitch Marner's play. But the stuff we saw online
and continue to see.
Boy, like, listen, I was upset with the result. He was upset with the result. We all said, hey, that wasn't acceptable. And we just wanted more. We all wanted more.
I'm not going to wash my hands of that. I can be angry in the moment.
100%. You
know what I mean? And the moment I'm going to count as like week or two following.
Right. But then after that, I think you let it go and you go, these are human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think the most human part of this documentary was watching those two and then watching Mitch have to sit in front of that camera and answer the questions. And I alluded to it at the beginning of the five episodes that we've done here, you know, Sheldon Keefe having to do that when the Senators, they melt down in the Senators at the beginning of the season. And I think it is one of those things where you realize the responsibility that these guys carry. And I'm glad we have that access. Because it does show, as the fan, one of the things that fans get most upset about is when we feel disconnected from the players that we're cheering for.
I feel like they don't care.
You guys are millionaires. You don't care. Yeah. You take your money. You go to Muskoka. You hang out. Oh, no, they care.
Like, I get that you've had your Leaf season ticket since 1980 and you got every jersey since 1942. But the guy on the ice there who just let you down, he cares, too. Like, this is life crushing for him. Like, he's devastated that he failed in the moment because he knows that there's so many people like you who also care for this team.
And they also showed Jack Campbell, like, bawling.
Oh.
And he faces the cameras, too, talking about allowing the worst goal of his life.
Which wasn't the reason they lost.
No.
Well, no. But
it wasn't great.
No, like I said, I remember saying on the stream, that can't go in. And it can't. Mm-hmm. But what a shame that he was the series he had, that he was even put in that position. That series should have been over and done with long before
three games
that.
Ago.
And the first period of game five was a piece of shit. And the first 50 minutes of game six were a piece of shit. And they came back in both of them and
couldn't close.
Because you didn't deserve to, because the first period and then first 50 minutes were pieces of shit. He should have never been in a position to allow the worst goal of his life.
Right. And Sheldon Keefe said, I think a couple episodes previous, you guys are playing with the end of your stick. You're swinging your stick out rather than getting right into it, right? It's that you're playing on your toes. You're not playing with your full force of your body. You're not running through people the way you should, and you're not locking these games down the way you should. And it's the standing still versus moving thing in hockey, and so much of it's mental. But I do have to say, the way they ended it too, hopeful but also scary. Because remember when they walk into that whiteboard in Dubas's terrible office at the beginning of the thing, and they've got the whole thing lined up, and here's what everybody makes, and all the magnets are on the board. And they show the shot of what forwards remain.
He writes 21-22, meaning this season right here. He writes that on the top of the board, and the
there
forwards
are
there.
Five guys under contract. The big four, Nylander, Tavares, Marner Matthews, and Ilya Mikheyev.
The guys who are going to be traded.
And what a way to go out. And I was like, oh my God, I hope they do a season two of this.
Well, Amazon, you nailed the last season.
Please like, do season two of this.
So I was disappointed by something because I remember we talked about this and I would have done it differently. But through these episodes that we've done, they did do exactly what I wanted. They just did it in a different way. I wanted it to end with the hope of a new season. Give me a profile on Nick Ritchie. Give me a profile on, hey, Austin, you've had a summer to think about this. How's it going? But again, what was the theme? They had such a hard job of putting this together, knowing the way it ends. The theme was, this group is not ready, and we need to get them ready. The end of last season perfectly sets up the beginning of this one because it's unfinished business and all the main players are still there. All the guys they focused on the most, all the guys who need to grow the most are still there. So it begs the question, the way it ends, is Dubas right to not be the reactionary one and keep the squad together? He's betting his career on it.
Sometimes you have to. And that's, I said this to you guys in a previous podcast last week. You know, we talk about the highest paid players on the Leafs. Both of them are under the age of 25. 24.
He also really has no other option.
Yeah.
Because you don't trade somebody. You don't trade somebody at their lowest value.
You can.
But that's not. But he's Dubas is smarter than that.
Yeah.
His options are here are to double down.
So this is the all or nothing year.
Yes.
This is.
Which we didn't think it would be.
This is the all or nothing year. Yeah. And, you know, Amazon accidentally came up with the perfect title for the wrong reasons. Hey, I'm not going to make you show your work. This isn't math class. You got there anyway. Perfect, perfect title for reasons I don't think they ever expected.
Steve was in this episode as well.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. This was
Hat Guy, too.
Your third. Oh, yeah. Hat Guy made it. Did Hat Guy get a check for this?
Hat Guy on Amazon Prime. No, I get those checks.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get Hat Guy's checks.
Steve gets to send Hat Guy to university, so Hat Guy can do
that. Yeah. Well, Hat Guy needs a better lawyer.
I send him to the Hat Guy Walker. it runs around a field with other Hat Guys.
So, in conclusion here.
I want that visual.
Tough way to end. We knew that was coming. And boy, does it present a challenge when you see that whiteboard as empty as it is. So I guess this is the all or nothing season. And this concludes our look at it. I don't know if they're going to do a season two. I would hope they would. But I imagine that's probably not in the cards. But holy smokes, would that be so cool. I would love to see this end well.
If there was a season two, what would you call it? Would it just be All or Nothing episode 6?
Yes.
Right? Or would it, because All or Nothing 2 sounds ridiculous.
Well, and I don't even think you need to start All or Nothing the second season anywhere other than.
It's a continuation.
Than, well, yeah. You don't need to do the regular season though. Start in the playoffs. Because really, what matters this year
right.
other than that?
It was the best from a storytelling perspective because it there were the fewest games
yeah.
involved. And what matters is growth.
Yeah, yeah.
Growth.
But what I mean is like pick it up at the next time. That because really, what's the regular season going to tell you? Not much. You get to know the players a little bit. But like other than that, I don't know, man. I'm just dying for another. I would love another series of this.
I think what this documentary taught us is that the regular season did actually teach us everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It taught us that the results of the regular season don't matter, which was the message the entire time.
Oh, and
they got it the whole time.
The results don't matter, but the work does.
Right.
The management,
the way you play does.
Coaching, they understood the assignment the whole damn time.
Makes them look good.
We're very much over time here.
Okay, all right. Yeah. We'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Well, time to do friggin' Booker T. Spinneroonie and get yeah. away then.
Let's circle this a little more. Do a couple more spinoramas.
All right. Well, listen. We want to thank you so much for listening because, you know, this has been a deep dive into what was a tough end to a great season. And we love the fact that there's a lot of content coming out from us this week. We appreciate the fact that you're listening to it all and watching it all. And season starts in like a week. Week yeah. and a half.
Do you feel better? I feel better.
I feel a little bit of closure. Jesse? Yeah.
I feel better that this is wrapping.
No, okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't know, because I've been trying to do that for like 10 minutes here.
Wrap it up, then. Jesse wants this to be done.
I want to go back to episode 1.
No!
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Steve_Dangle, at Adam WYLDE, and at Jesse Blake. Connection complete.